This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, in our second half hour, we will visit with the Douglas County Sheriff, Kevin Morris, our guest, and kind of a Douglas County forecast, rather focus today, because tomorrow is opening day of the NCW Fair. We want to get you up to speed on everything that's going on, and so we're going to bring you some of the highlights of an earlier edition of The Agenda with Carolyn Morley, the fair manager. Is it quiet up there right now, or is it already a buzz of activity with all the kind of last-minute stuff?
It's buzzing around. People are moving and grooving, getting ready. It takes a lot of work to set up.
So when we were talking yesterday, getting set up to have you on the air today, we were talking about a couple of, there's a whole lot new this year, but I was excited to hear about your Battle of the Bands. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We're trying to think of new and different things, and we've never had a Battle of the Bands competition before, so it should be exciting. We've got 9 acts, some local, some, you know, one guy's even from Nashville, so we're really excited about that competition.
So when's that going to take place, and where can folks enjoy the performances, and how's the competition going to work?
It is Thursday, August 22nd. Starts about 11 a.m. and will go all the way until about 6:30 p.m. and it's going to be in our community hall. So grab some food, hit a table, and stick around and enjoy the show. The winner gets $500, and they get to open for Craig Morgan on Friday night. So that's a pretty cool winnings there.
Okay, does the audience get to vote, or is how does that all work?
We actually have some judges from the musical entertainment that are local, a couple different radio DJs, owner of the music store in town. So we've got some people that we put in place that we think will do a great job in judging, but I'm sure they're going to take community and audience feedback into play.
Some esteemed judges. There you go.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Craig Morgan, the big show, and some changes there, I understand, on the with kind of the dancing venue, but that's helped you with the ticket prices. How do folks get tickets if they want to go check out Craig Morgan? He's a big timer.
Absolutely. They can get tickets on our website at ncwfair.org. They're just $20 or $30 this year. We really were able to lower that price point. We want to pack the place and make it a really great show for Craig because he's a great performer.
Now, you've always been able to bring in some big-name entertainment, and even some of the biggest names of all time, sometimes very early on in their career, but you just have a great history of bringing in some of the top names to the NCW Fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And this actually is the first time the fair has ever welcomed somebody back a second time. So we thought he was too good to pass up on his route through Washington, and we're super excited to be able to snag him again.
Well, congratulations. Craig Morgan, again, performance with Craig Morgan, is that that's coming up on Friday night, and the opening act hits the stage at 6:30, and then his show starts at 7:30?
Exactly. You
okay.
Got it.
So make sure you're there in time to enjoy that. Now, is that a separate ticketed event, or how does that all work?
So we're a one-pay gate. You buy that concert ticket, and you get to enjoy the entire day at the fair. So come early, bring your kids, get some food, hit the carnival, do it all that day while you get that free entry into the fair with your carnival ticket, your concert ticket.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're talking with Carolyn Morley, who is, and I want to give a proper credit. What do we call you? Head honcho, fair manager, what's the proper and respectful title for you, Carolyn?
Well, I'm the fair manager, yep.
There you go. So Senior Day is Thursday, August 22nd. The fair opens at 9 a.m., so that's anyone who's 62 or older gets in for free, I see.
Yep, absolutely. And actually, we just announced we're going to have our first ever bingo on Senior Day. Who can have a Senior Day without bingo? So we're excited about that.
Okay, so where do I get my cinnamon rolls? One of the things the fair is famous for in Waterville, right?
Absolutely. The Wheat Wives booth is a big deal, and their cinnamon rolls are just incredible.
Well, just follow your nose. You'll smell them as soon as you walk in the front gate. I don't think I think you can miss them. So tell us about cornhole. You've got a big cornhole tournament. Is that new this year?
It's new, and it's going to be fun. In fact, the names of these teams are hysterical. There should have been a competition all on its own for the names of the cornhole teams that are coming in. I think it's going to be a great time.
So a full carnival this year, you had mentioned to me when we were talking about that. So you've expanded the carnival offerings?
We have. The last couple of years it's been smaller, but this year we were able to get back to our full amount of rides and actually some rides that have never been to this fair before. We exchanged out some old favorites for some new and exciting rides, and we're really excited about having this, the whole grass filled this year.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about rodeo action. Folks love taking in some of the rodeo competitions. So when can we catch that up in Waterville this year at the NCW Fair?
Saturday, 4 p.m., and Sunday, 1 p.m., is where it's all at, and lots of action. Not only do we have the rodeo competition, but also the horse racing as well.
So if you want to go to the website, ncwfair.org, there's all a good-looking website, by the way. You can click on the different links and see the 2019 schedule. I don't know, you might want to print that out because it's a real handy. When's the best time to catch maybe some of the 4-H and FFA judging and things like that? That's always kind of interesting to watch. I love seeing the kids' projects and the auctions going on there for that. And when's all that primarily taking place?
Absolutely. Really, you can see animals anytime, but the livestock auction is 10 a.m. on Saturday, and it really is neat to see these kids handle their animals and see how hard they've worked to train them. So that's a really cool thing if you haven't done it before. That's 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Tell us about some of the other entertainment that's performing, some of the different groups. I see you've got Eden Moody. I think folks will recognize that name, but you have a bunch of other great entertainers throughout the weekend.
We do. We actually have our Christian concert coming back in the community hall. Andrew Thompson will be doing that. Got a couple other bands and even a local group of gals who are elementary school age who are going to be singing, and they're really good. So a lot of local talent. We want to get local talent up on the stage for people to really enjoy. So lots of different acts.
After the Craig Morgan concert, I see you've got a beer garden after party as well, so tell us about that for folks that don't want the party to end.
Absolutely. The beer garden is going to be happening. We've got a stage over there this year with a gal named Jessie Lee, who is incredible showman, and she is going to really put on a show so that the party doesn't have to stop, keep you dancing all night long.
And there's a Friday night dance as well from 10 till till midnight. There's going to be some partying going on, it looks like, Friday night up at the fairgrounds, huh?
Absolutely. And the dances really are designed for kids and families. They're a really safe place to have fun, swing dance, line dance. So come up, take your kids over to the dance, and then maybe parents can go hit the beer garden.
What are the general hours for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the fair?
Really, the fair opens every day at 9 a.m., and then we go till about 8 p.m. For the general exhibitor booths and things like that. But the dances and the beer garden stay open a little later. But the general hours are 9 a.m. to about 8 p.m.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Carolyn Morley. We're going to take a quick break and be back with a little bit more of the conversation as it's a lot of folks kind of used to know it as the district fair. It's the NCW Fair now in Waterville.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Okay, Carolyn Morley, the fair manager at the NCW Fair in Waterville. Buzz with activity right now. Fair opens up Thursday at 9 a.m., and we want to remind you, particularly if you have kids or grandkids, Saturday, which would be day three, is going to be a kids' zone, kind of kids' day, with lots of extra things going on in the kids' zone. So if you're kind of, you can only make one day of it up to the fair. Maybe Saturday is the day to pick, right?
That's right. There's so much going on. Kids are bound to have fun. You won't be disappointed.
So some expanded things going on Saturday. But if you're going to go to the carnival, take advantage of the carnival wristbands. You can pick those up around town at various locations and save yourself some money on enjoying the expanded carnival this year. Where can you get the carnival wristbands?
You can get them at Ag Supply in East Wenatchee, also known as Ace Hardware, or up in Waterville at Napa.
So stop in and saves you like $5, I think.
That's right. So if you got a bunch of kids, you can save yourself a handful of money.
Good luck on another successful fair this year. And Thursday, 9 a.m. when the fair opens up, Senior Citizen Day, free day of those 62 and older on opening day, August the 22nd. Carolyn, thank you so much for the time, and I hope everything runs as smooth as possible.
Thank you.
All right, Carolyn Morley, our guest on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, kpq.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Hey, we are back with Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris, and welcome to the studios. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dave. Nice being here.
Well, are you going to, well, certainly we'll see, I'm sure, some deputies walking around the NCW fair. Are you going to have a display or booth or anything like that up there?
Yeah, we've regularly taken up our SOC, which is Special Operations Center. It's the big fifth-wheel trailer that we take to our major scenes. And if a deputy's standing around it, ask for a tour, they'll give you a tour of it. But if it's locked up, that's because they're out, you know, doing the foot beat around the fair, talking to people.
Doing something. So what do you use that? If it's a big fire or a big accident scene or something like that, that's when you haul that out?
Yeah, any major investigation or case that we believe we're going to have extended stay or we need that type of facility to work out of. So, fires, major homicides, major collisions, anything of significant size.
Well, speaking of fires, we've been a little blessed this summer, fortunately, not only from a smoky standpoint, and a lot of times the smoke we've noticed here at the summer has come from other fires, but really certainly not the number of significant fires. We did have the Desert Canyon fire that got up a pretty good acreage amount, but the fires that we have had have been all relatively small compared to past summers, definitely. Certainly the last couple for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I equate that to our mild summer humidity levels. But I also, we have to throw some credit where credit is due. It's unfortunate, but we all have gotten better at the fire season. From the first report, communication from fire and law, first responders, and then understanding how we can get resources here quickly. The Desert Canyon fire, there was an awful lot of air support very quickly, and that helped suppress it, especially with the terrain that you cannot get personnel in or large equipment to cut lines or what have you. And then obviously weather too. If we can get any type of rains and the winds hold, it makes it much easier for them to fight. So we have been very fortunate, but we also have to throw some credit towards the firefighters and all first responders and even our public. They see smoke, they're calling, and you know, the quicker we can get on it, the quicker we can get those things taken care of.
But we can't let our guard down. We have, as citizens, to take every precaution, make sure you don't have any chains dragging when you're hauling a boat or a trailer or things like that. If you're off to the side of a road, make sure your hot exhaust isn't starting something, and all the regular precautions that we're all asked to take. It's tough for farmers. They're going to be out there harvesting, and sometimes it can't help if an implement hits a rock or something like that, but reporting is the key.
Right, and you're absolutely right, Dave. We're starting to feel a little bit of fall in the air at times. You know, the NCW fair you mentioned is coming up, and a lot of times in the evening it gets kind of cool up there, and it gives a false sense of security. We still have a lot of fuels on the ground. It's still dry. If a fire starts, it's going to run and run. So I'm glad you brought that up. I just ask everybody to maintain their caution. regardless what they're doing, recreational fires or, you know, you're pulling boats, whatever you're doing, keep that in mind. So we're not ending our mild year with a rough end.
It has, in another sense, though, been a weird year with severe weather and some at least two flash flooding incidents in Douglas County that we don't often see, particularly in flat areas where we almost wouldn't expect that. So it's just been a very odd summer, hasn't it?
It has, and it's another great reason to have, you know, to sign up for AlertSense, because the AlertSense automatically sends out weather warnings, and it'll tell you, gives you those warnings in it for areas and what to expect. And sometimes it is heavy rains, and it'll tell you what to expect, and maybe you can prepare. Like you said, we don't have floods very often, especially in the flat areas, so I don't know how to prepare for that. It just generally never happens. But it can.
We're talking with the Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris, and again, you can sign up for the AlertSense, which can tell you about severe weather, public safety messages, and even about community events. And the thing that's kind of cool about it, you might live in one part of Douglas County. Your parents, your elderly parents, may live up in the northern part of the county in a totally different part of the area. It's a big county, and this is also true of Chelan County, but different parts of the region you can pinpoint and say, I want to hear when something's happening up in Plain, and I live in Mansfield or something. And so you can get all these pinpointed alerts, and it's available on the App Store or Google Play to get all signed up for that. So there was the National Night Out, and all of our law enforcement agencies were there. There was also a career and job fair at Wenatchee Valley College a little earlier this month. And so how was the turnout in your estimation, and the opportunity to interact with the public?
Right. Yeah, the job fair I did not attend, but we did have some folks over there, and I understand it was a great success. Public safety testing was done at the same time or within a few days of that, and it was all part of the same event, so to speak. And it was a great turnout there, from what I was told. The National Night Out I did attend, even though it was 103, 104. I was extremely impressed with the support of the community. There was a lot of folks that came and endured that heat to listen to a couple of us, you know, just talk. So, but it represents exactly what National Night Out is, and that is community working with law enforcement working with the community. It's building those bonds. It was a great success, and we had a great time.
I'd like to ask your opinion of something that a couple of events that have been in the news of late, and that is we recall a few weeks back police officers, I think it was in Brooklyn, this was on social media, widely circulated, being doused with buckets of water. They were in a neighborhood for some reason. I think there was another similar type incident during a traffic stop. Even during the shootout with a armed assailant in a row house in Philadelphia, where there were officers trapped, I think, in an upper floor, and the bad guy was in the lower floor, and there were, of course, police officers, huge response outside the home. Those officers were being taunted by folks in the neighborhood. Number one, how does that make you feel? And kind of as law enforcement here in our community, what do you ever hear anything, any reaction from local officers? We would hope that would never happen here. I can't imagine that it ever would. But what does that do to morale when you see these sort of national incidents?
Right. So not everybody's pro-law enforcement. We deal with that every day. We know that. But what I will say, as far as in my office, as far as morale goes, I have not heard any major concerns. There's an industry standard. Most of the concern is some of the legislative burdens that concerns a few of them more than the community and people's reaction to them. We here in the Valley, Chelan and Douglas County, the East Wenatchee Police Department, we talk regularly. We're very happy with our relationship. Regardless of what's going nationwide, it's been very strong. And although locally we have some folks that aren't the biggest fan, we don't see that here. And I'm happy to see that. And I think it's because of the way we conduct ourselves.
Is that something that you do any sort of training on over the course of the year? How do we treat folks when we're making a traffic stop or when we encounter them? Is that part of any sort of regular training regimen?
That's fundamental training. That to be a good law enforcement professional, that's the first way you start is treating people correctly. I'll note we have a couple deputies in the academy right now, and in the academy they have them send home a letter every week. It teaches them how to write reports. So they got to take their week, what they've experienced, condense it into intelligible language, and it comes home, and basically it tells us as an agency what they're doing and how things are going. So I read it, and one of our recruits there, I was very pleased with. Her takeaway for the week was this. A TAC officer there regularly says, you don't always have to be right, but you always have to be reasonable. And for a brand new officer going into law enforcement, I'm proud and happy to hear that that was her takeaway for the week. They did criminal law and all of that. It's just, it goes to the core of what you just asked. How do we train, and how do we deal with that? I think that reasonable statement is very, very powerful.
How long have you been in law enforcement, Sheriff?
Over 24 years.
Do you fear, though, kind of what we see on because I guess someone considering a law enforcement career all across the country sees kind of what's going on, that maybe younger generations it may be a little different in an urban setting as opposed to here in more rural parts of this state, for instance, might have a little trepidation about they see the way law enforcement it gets treated, and is this really the career for me? Do you have concerns about that?
Absolutely. All agencies are struggling to make sure they have a quality pool of candidates to hire from. And we're in my office, we're hitting some retirements. We had one this year. I know there's one early next year, and that's going to happen. And I had a meeting with civil service today. There's a lot of folks that seem to be taking the test, but you have washout that doesn't qualify, and so your pools tend to shrink. There are definitely younger folks that are interested in being part of their community, giving back, being a first responder in law enforcement. But it doesn't appear as it's as good of numbers when I first started. It used to be a lot more folks. I remember testing for a small agency. There were 60 candidates for a small agency, and that's when you had to travel to each agency that you were interested in. Now public safety testing, you go to one place, you take the test, you apply for all agencies in one spot. So it's a lot easier now, and yet I still see some of the numbers smaller.
Okay. So maybe it is having a little bit of an effect then.
It very well could.
Yeah. So, in fact, right now, when I was looking on your Facebook page, it looks like you're at least taking applications for the candidate pool right now?
Well, public safety testing is all the time. They test almost every month in different locations. And then if you're interested in working for Douglas County or Chelan County, you check that box, so to speak, at public safety. They send the results to each individual civil service department that manages the eligibility list, which is an entity outside of our offices. Then when we have an opening, we send a notice to our civil service saying, we have an opening, can you give me the top three of the list? We get the top three for each individual. And then so what they do is they call out to those folks that are in the top three and give it to us. But prior to that, when they get the PST testing results, they do an oral board locally that creates the final list.
All right. We're talking with the Douglas County Sheriff, Kevin Morris, and right now a little earlier on this summer, expanded the office hours, and that's to take care of I guess, demand to folks want to get some paperwork filled out, maybe for licensing a firearm or for other various reasons, but you've expanded hours a little earlier this summer.
Right. Our records department approached me and asked if they could change some of their hours. One of the benefits was to increase the hours of the day for our citizens. And so I obviously said, absolutely. If we can have our office open for more hours in a day, it used to be 9 to 4, now it's 8 to 5, so we gain 2 hours a day, then certainly we're going to serve our community a lot better.
All right. Well, we are about to start school, so a reminder to drive safely, be prepared, and be watching out for some of those school kids on particularly some of the more rural routes. How many? How big is Douglas County? About 1,800 square miles, something like that?
I think it's 1,821, I think.
Wow. That's a big stretch of roadway. So be watching for those school buses on some of those rural routes. Look out while you're at the NCW Fair this weekend, and you'll see the SOC, the Special Operations Center. You might get a tour if the deputy who's enjoying the fair isn't off grabbing some cotton candy or doing his
corn
foot patrol or riding the Bronken Bull or something like that. So that's what's going on. Thanks for the Douglas County Sheriff's update. Anything else you wanted to add while we had you here?
You know, Dave, I don't have anything else. I appreciate the time, though. I enjoyed myself today.
Well, really appreciate your the service of everyone in the department. And again, it I get worried about. I see some of the purposeful confrontational stuff that we see in social media. I brought up the thing where we saw the officers being doused with water. We saw the taunting that was reported of those officers that were there in Philadelphia while there were law enforcement inside, trapped inside a building with a guy who, as we had learned, was shooting his weapon through the floor up at them. Fortunately, no serious injuries resulted. But some of the police that were there were being taunted by some in the crowd. Again, it was probably just a few, but that sort of thing is being placed on social media. I even came across a few videos that I saw where people will purposefully go and approach maybe an officer who has someone pulled over on the side of the highway for a traffic stop and is just trying to videotape it. They claim, you know, with their constitutional rights, that may be so, but sort of making a kind of a confrontation out of it for various reasons and kind of putting everyone on edge. So just that troubles me. And I want you guys and gals to stay safe out there.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris joining us today on the agenda. News Radio 560 KPQ.